Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN and the Listen tab on the ESPN app.
Hi, welcome back to the Michael K. Show, everybody. The Jets with a big victory, now 2 in a row, and they are 3-3 on the season with a big victory over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday at MetLife. And it's time for the Todd Bowles Report, brought to you by Open Road Audi of Manhattan and M&T Bank. Coach, how's it feel after the second win in a row?
It's always better to win than to lose.
Now, after the game, I thought you really summed it up nicely when you said these are the games that we would have lost last year, or maybe even a couple of weeks ago. So what has changed? Why did you win a game where there were some mistakes?
Just the maturity and the growth of the guys believing in each other and those guys executing when they needed to execute and stepping up to make plays. I thought they showed tremendous growth mentally that way.
Is that a confidence thing, Coach? When you can fight through that?
It is, and you got to fight through it, and sometimes you got to go through some lumps to get there, and I was happy to see them get through it.
Now, I know you're a perfectionist. Most head coaches in the NFL are. That being said, were you a little concerned that your defense gave up as many yards as it did? It did get the turnovers, but they did give up yards.
I thought we gave up a lot more plays, and I didn't think we played very well on defense, despite the turnovers. I thought it was one of our worst games, and it was really in the second half when the simple coverages and we let things go up front and let things go in the back that fundamentally we got to get to the right place.
Now, that isn't a case of playing comfortable because you got a multiple score lead.
No, it was nothing but comfortable. They played hard. We just didn't play smart and do some things technically and fundamentally that we normally do.
Now, obviously, your kicker has a historic day, 7 field goals, and some coaches were looking at, well, that's all well and good, but that means that we didn't score touchdowns. Which way do you look at it?
That's exactly how I look at it.
Well, why don't you think you scored the touchdowns there?
We had one thing tweak here and there. Obviously, we moved the ball because we got down there, but we just got to keep working at it. And there was a play here or there, a guy here or there, and we just got on the wrong page. Well, we got to just keep working at it.
Now, is that on your quarterback or is that on the entire offense?
No, it's on the entire offense. We just got to keep working on ways, and it's definitely not on the quarterback.
Now, there was one thing that happened yesterday, and I said, well, this is different, and I wanted to get into your thinking. You have the lead. You have the ball. I think there's something like 40 seconds left. I'm rounding it off. And you could have just sat on it and ran out the clock. Instead, you went for it. And I thought it was one of the better two-minute drills that I've seen in a long time. They knew exactly what to do, exactly when to spike the ball to end the clock at 3 seconds. What was your mindset there, not just going into the locker room with the lead, but actually going to tag on some points?
No, we had time, and we had 2 timeouts, and, you know, we worked on it in practice quite a bit, and we thought if we got positive yards on first down, we were going to get ready to go for it, and we got some yards on first down, so we kept going for it, and we're trying to push the envelope and get as many points as we can.
I would think also that I know you practice it all the time during the week, but when you get that big gain up the middle, and then I don't know if you saw the replay. You probably looked at the tape already, but your whole offensive line just starts sprinting. They all knew exactly what to do in that part. That's got to be something that makes a coach smile.
Yeah, it made me very happy. I mean, they executed everything very well, just like we practiced it, and, you know, they spiked it, and we got the kick.
Now, you spike it with 3 seconds, so there's very little margin for error. So just take us through how they are conscious of how far they can go, how much time they have to take all the different steps. I mean, how do you practice something like that?
I mean, we talk to them through the headset as well. We don't have any timeouts. When they catch the ball, they have to get down, then we have to run up and spike it, because if they try to get extra yards, then the clock's going to run out. So you practice it all the time, and the receivers understand that they can't be greedy. So when they catch the ball, they got down, and, you know, we practice running off the guys on and off the field in those situations.
Now, Todd, as a defensive guy on the other side, what could the Colts have done? I mean, do you take the risk of not tackling him right away? Can you afford to try to do that so close to the end zone?
No, if a guy gives himself up, I mean, they're going to stop the play anyway. So it doesn't matter whether they tackle him or not. If he goes down and gives himself up, the play will be over. So they just got to tackle him as is.
All right, give me your thoughts on the progression and the maturity of Darnold. Where is he, and how far does he still have to go? Obviously, there's a long way to go, but are you happy with the quarterback he is right now in only his sixth game?
Yeah, I'm happy where he is. Again, for me, it's the adjustments and the audibles and in and out of the huddle and getting the play in and out on time. And I thought he did a good job at that yesterday. So the progression has come along fine.
All right, what did it mean to have KC there?
It was great just to see him. I know the guys missed him, and he brought a little boost to the guys offensively and defensively. It wasn't just the defensive guys. And, you know, he's a big presence around here for us, and he has a big voice. So just to see him yesterday brought a smile to a lot of people's face.
Now, speaking of a big presence that could bring a smile, did you or Sam or anyone get to have some good interactions with Joe Namath?
We did. I talked to him Saturday. Actually, he was at the Saturday morning practice, and I talked to him a lot. Highly intelligent guy. Love to talk to him every time I get a chance to. Football knowledge is outstanding. Just a very personable guy. Has a lot of knowledge and very positive, and just somebody you enjoy being around.
Now, you're probably busy at the time that he's giving the speech at halftime, but he told the crowd, this team can beat anybody on any given day. Do you feel like that about your team?
When we're clicking on all cylinders, I do.
All right, so Minnesota is next, and what kind of challenges do they pose?
They're tough. Obviously, they went to the championship game last year. Very talented on defense. Great skilled people on offense, and between the runners, the quarterbacks, the receivers, and the tight ends. So a huge offensive line. They pose a big problem.
Well, tell us your thoughts on Cousins.
He's a good quarterback. He's good in Washington, and he's doing a great job there. So we got our work cut out for us.
Was it fun with the broadcast team being, you know, your college coach? Did you and Arians have any interaction during the week?
No, he just let me know he was coming, and he wasn't at the broadcast and the production meeting. He had something to do, so he wasn't at the production meeting. But we text a few times here and there, and we text after the game. So it was just good. I didn't hear him announcing it, obviously, because I'm on the field. But, I mean, we talk all the time anyway, so it was no different for me.
All right, now, during the broadcast, he said, and I quote, he said, Todd Bowles is the smartest football player I ever had as a coach in college. Were you the smartest football player he ever had?
Maybe he didn't have a lot of smart ones. I might win by default. I don't know, the thinnest guy at a fat farm?
Is that what you're saying?
There you go. There you go.
So take us through your night, because you're 3-3, and you know, Miami wins their game, and then you get to sit down and watch the Sunday night game and watch New England win again, a thrilling, crazy game. So how do you watch that? What is it like in your home watching the team that you know that you're going to have to try to beat here to get this division?
Well, honestly, my night consists of me watching my two sons on the computer play their games over the weekend, and I have to critique them. So I don't watch really the night games unless we're playing that team the next week.
Okay. How'd your sons do?
1-1, one lost.
But they both played hard.
They both play hard.
Now, do they make you watch their tape, or do you make them show you their tape?
Because I can't see the games, I have to go back and see the tape with them anyway.
And they want you to do that.
Yes, and it's a ritual. That's what we do.
Oh,
that's
nice. Are you comfortable critiquing them, or is it hard to do?
It's extremely comfortable.
Too comfortable, I'm sure. I'm sure they wish it was less comfortable.
All right, so let's talk about your injuries. How's Anunua?
He has an ankle sprain. Don't know how severe yet.
And Marcus May. Right?
He went for x-rays, and I got a meeting with those guys, and I'll see where he's at then.
How important is it tomorrow, the game against the Vikings, your third straight at home, how important is it to play at home, and is it an advantage yet for the Jets?
I don't think it's an advantage yet, because they're used to playing on the road, and we're getting used to winning and learning how to handle some winning and try to string together three in a row will be important for us. So, and we got a great team coming in here, so we know we got to be clicking on all cylinders for us to be in that ball game.
Well, Todd, congratulations on the win. Good luck against Minnesota. I have to ask you a personal favor. I want you to, and when you have time, I know you're busy, I want you to look at some broadcast tapes of me broadcasting the Yankee games, because it sounds like you'd be honest.
I would love to.
Well, he'd love to.
Oh, he'd love to. Okay.
It's because I'm a Yankee fan. I got to catch a game when you're doing it.
Okay. And you can circle when I made a mistake and all that and just rip me because I need that.
I won't do that at all.
Were you able to dial in to the Red Sox series?
This one with the Yankees?
Yeah.
No, because I was working so late and I never really caught it as much, and it was over before I even got to even catch it. But we'll be back next year.
You know what? It was over before they knew it.
It was
too.
A good one to miss.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll be back next year.
All right, we'll talk to you next Monday, Coach.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's the Todd Bowles Report brought to you by Open Road Audi of Manhattan. Visit openroad.com today, the easiest way to buy a car, and M&T Bank, the official community bank of the New York Jets. Get the exclusive Jets debit card with new easy choice checking only at M&T Bank.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Don't miss the guys weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN and on the Listen tab of the ESPN app.